our scriptures this morning. I've got several, but of course I want to start with the resurrection scriptures. And that's this morning, coming from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verse 1. And I'm going to read chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw that the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in there. And they were in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the other, and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And the figure standing there who was Jesus said, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go get him." And Jesus, the figure, said to her, "Mary." Then she turned toward him and realized it was him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to the Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, saying, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." Well, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them this time. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. These are the words of God for the children of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, now, ask your blessings upon the reading and the hearing of your holy word once again on all our hearts. May our thoughts be humbled and acceptable in your sight at this time. Help us to put aside all things as we do for every worship time when we read the scriptures and hear your word, and only put your word and your kingdom first and foremost in our energies. May my words also bring you honor and glory, Lord, because only you are worthy. Help us all to remember always that as we gather at any worship service, anytime, anywhere on your creation, that we are all participating together in the worship of your holy name, and you alone are our audience. Help us to therefore worship you worthily as we invite your Holy Spirit among us today to help us do so, because without your help, we can do nothing worthy before you or for you in your Son's name. In Jesus' name now we ask, amen. Well, this week, as I was getting ready, I was thinking about what a scavenger hunt is. Haven't been on one in a long time. Have you sometime? You get a list of things, don't we? Somebody, you know, it's like a party or some sort of an event. Somebody gives you a list. Everybody has the same list, we reckon. But, you know, you get a list and you go out and there's maybe 10 things on it or 20 things on it, and you have to go out. And the thing is, you collect them, and then the first one back with everything wins, or with the most things. And some of them are pretty outlandish. Some things are easy to do. Sometimes it's just, these days, you know, with cell phones, you can take, all you have to do is say, just need a picture of you in front of a McDonald's sign or something. You know, it could be something like that, or it could be, used to be it was a little bit of stealing involved. You know, you had to go in and take something. And you know, and usually folks are happy-minded. You know, if you told them what you were doing, they'd say, "Oh yeah, take it all." You know, but a scavenger hunt is a fun thing to do, and you have a list of things that we need to collect, and and you never know what it could be. And most of the items don't make any sense; they're not related to one another, and you just kind of collect it. And you have a bag or something that you take, and then maybe they give you one. Well, I didn't bring a bag this morning because you kind of get the idea, I believe. But in a sense, what Jesus, we're walking the faith, and all Christians do. And while we come to the empty tomb this morning, and we've come once again, and we're coming to church on sunrise service is the same as coming to that empty tomb. We're all assembled in here, and we see one another, and there is no tomb, of course, but we come into this place. And we don't see Jesus. He's here, of course. He's with the Father. He's at the right hand of the Father. One day he's going to return and come back, you know. But in the meantime, we've been given the gift of the Spirit. But we don't see Jesus. We come to the empty tomb, and we're wondering, we're filled with awe. So, you know, everything that Jesus says is true. And so until we do see Jesus, now, we've been given things to do. And it's much like the list that on a scavenger hunt, but it's much more meaningful than that. Now, make no mistake, God doesn't just give us a random list of things to do, you know, and fill these out and collect them. That's works. We're saved by works. You know, if you collect these, if you do this so many times, then you get into heaven. It doesn't work that way with God. What the work of God is to believe in His Son Jesus Christ. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And the work of God in John's Gospel in chapter 6 says the work of God is to believe, in other words, to have faith in the one He sent. So it's not works, it's faith. But we're saved by faith to then go do the works of faith. And in the meantime, until we do see Jesus, whether He returns or we go to see Him, there are things that we need to collect, much like a scavenger list. But it's again, it's much, much deeper than a scavenger list. It's things that we need to collect and do, because when we're saved by faith, but when we get to heaven, if you notice your scriptures, they teach us that when we get there, we're going to be judged according to our actions, our works. And sometimes that causes people, Christians, to say, wait a minute, you know, I thought we were saved by faith. Well, we are. Then why is He going to judge me on my works? Well, that's salvation by works. No, it's not by works. It's salvation by faith, because if we have a faith in Jesus, then we're able to go do and put our energies to work for Jesus. So if we have the right kind of works, that means we have the right kind of faith. So you see, those things are related. But in the meantime, that list that we're supposed to collect are doing for others, meeting the human need for others. Now, I have some. I'm not going to read all these scriptures, but I have them for me. What is it that we're supposed to be collecting in this life? Well, we're supposed to be collecting treasures. Not of this earth, but of the kingdom. Now, there is the parable of the rich fool I'd like to read from Luke's gospel. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, and this is Luke in chapter 12, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then Jesus said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one of you has an abundance, does his man consist of his possessions." In other words, life is much more than your possessions on earth. And he told them this parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive. And he reasoned to himself, saying, 'What shall I do since I have no place to store my crops?' And he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns. And there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul," I love that, "soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, drink and be merry.' But then God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared?' All these barns filled with goods, and he's going to die and leave it. You can't take it with you. And then Jesus says, "This is how it will be for the person who stores up treasures for himself, but is not rich toward God." Now, the thing that we need to collect for ourselves is riches toward God. So many times we've heard it, you know, we've been given a crown. Paul writes about this. We've given a crown of righteousness, and there's jewels in the crown. Well, God gives us a crown to wear, and it's our task to go out through faith and to put jewels on our crown. And we do that by storing up treasures, not for ourselves, but by storing up treasures for God. We're rich towards God. And we do this by remembering the other scriptures. Also from Matthew's gospel, when Jesus is talking about the separation of the sheep and the goats. And I'm not going to go through all this. These are many, many sermons in these. But remember the scriptures when Jesus was talking about the separation of the sheep and the goats. And Jesus was talking about the righteous and the unrighteous, the sheep and the goats. Jesus will say, the righteous will answer him, "Lord," the righteous will say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Very truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least one of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." And the reverse of that is true also, because he had blessed these persons, the righteous, and then he came along and he was cursing the others. He says, "Depart from me, those who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels," because they said, "Lord, wait a minute. When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes and all these things? And when did we not help you? We were doing these things." And Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do to one of the least of these, you did not do to me." So we've been given a list of what to do and who to do it to, our scavenger list in a way that God says, "This is what I expect of us. This is how we make it to heaven." The eternal question that Jesus was always asked is, "Lord," or "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Because people figured they were righteous, but they wanted to see what this person, this Jesus, said about the matter. And because, you know, they figured, well, they asked Jesus these questions because they wanted to find out what, again, he said about it. They thought they had already made it. And it was in those days and still is today that people think, well, if you've got a lot, well, God's blessed me. You know, I'm going to make it. I've already made it. I've really got one foot in the door in heaven because look at all the stuff I've got, you know. And we can sit back, eat, drink, and be merry. We've got bigger barns, and if you don't need more barns, you build bigger ones. And And you know, that's in the world. It was then, it still is today. That's power and authority. People listen to you if you got money. And if you have money, you could talk about Jesus and people would listen to you. You know, that's the way the world works. You know, take a look at the, I'm not putting any profession down, but people who play sports, well, I mean, it's a wonderful thing, professional sports. I still think, you know, it's you know, I think that I can't do it. But, you know, when you take, I'm talking about millions and millions of dollars to, you know, to catch a little ball or to throw a little ball or something like that. Well, you know, it's, or entertaining or singing or something like that. Yeah, it's true, I can't do it. But all that for that? Because people love to get that money. And then people like to flock around these people. And then if you talk, if you want to see what, I'm not going to pick on anybody in particular in the media, but, you know, see what so-and-so has to say about X, Y, and Z. I don't really care. You know, it's just another person like you or me. And so who cares if a sports industry or a music industry person is interviewed? Now, it could be an interesting interview, but who cares? But people will hang on their words because they are important, and they, you know, people figure that they have that position and status that they, you know, you want to, people like to cling close to them. But that's exactly the opposite of what Jesus teaches. You know, don't build up things for yourself. And again, there's nothing wrong with having things as long as it doesn't get in the way of having the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord in our lives. And then we use the resources that we have to live that life. Because we're in this life, as we move along, as we come to the empty tomb, and we say this morning, so, or Sunday, we say, so now what do I do with Jesus? What do I do as a Christian, as a follower? What am I to do? And we know the answer to these things. We're to go and fulfill the Great Commission. We're to go and tell everybody about Jesus. And as we do so, remembering what Jesus sees, we're helping to meet the human need. And that's why, you know, when Jesus says, when he was sick, hungry, thirsty, in prison, naked, you know, when are we doing anything about that? We remember the parable of the Good Samaritan and those who show mercy on others, those who forgive others, those who are working toward the kingdom, and all these things. Every time we do these things that you really can't put a dollar value on, that really the wealthy and famous look down on sometimes because there's no profit in it at all except in kingdom words. But yet that is the kind of world that Jesus has called us to live until we do see him again. Until we, one day when we look in the tomb and we find it empty, but then we don't find him in a tomb ever, but we see him face to face when we go to the Father, when our earthly days are accomplished or when he returns. And then Jesus will say, when our works are judged, and it will reveal the content of the faith we have in our hearts. Are we serving self, or have we been serving the Lord all these years? Now, remember, this sounds like an awful lot, but remember what Jesus also says. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It means that we can accomplish these things, and it's not as bad as we think it's going to be. As a matter of fact, it can be joyous and fun because we're linked with fellow people. It can be hard as a rough as a cob, my dad would always say, and I'd always ask him going through rough times. You know, I'd say, Dad, is it, this is pretty rough. Is it rough as a cob yet? And he'd say, no, not yet. I'd say, boy, I haven't reached a rough part like that yet, but I'd always ask him because I thought it was pretty rough going through something. He said, no, not yet. But life can be rough as a cob and rough and talking to people and doing things and following Christ. But that wasn't promised that the easy part would be easy. But the promise is that Jesus would be right there with us. He promises us peace as we walk on our way. Well, we're going to get to heaven one day, and it's not by works. I'm reminded of a story about the difference between works and grace. Because we can only get there through the grace of God, through Jesus. Because we don't earn getting into heaven. Nobody can. It's grace gifted, you know, for all believers. We're all fall short. You know, if we break one part of the law, we've broken it all. And we don't get in. But there's a good story that illustrates the difference. Because we think about, what must I do to inherit eternal life? When I look in this empty tomb this morning, and I don't see Jesus, and then I, okay, now, you know, because somebody's going to come up and say, I've fallen short. You're right. Let them tell you you've fallen short and say, yes, I'm glad of it too because of grace. Not that we should flaunt our sinfulness, as Paul writes, but be glad that because of our sinfulness, that's why Jesus came in the first place. But this is a story. There's a man who dies and goes to heaven. Of course, St. Peter meets him at the pearly gates. And Peter says, here's how it works. You need 100 points to get into heaven. Now, you tell me all the good things you've done, and I'll give you a certain number of points for each item, depending on how good it was. When you reach 100 points, I'll let you in. The man says, okay, you know, sitting down, and I got some good ones. Okay, the man says, I was married to the same woman for 50 years, and never cheated on her, even in my heart. You know? And Peter said, that's wonderful. That's worth 3 points. 3 points. All right. 3 points. So I got one. I got one. He says, well, I attended church all my life and supported its ministry with my tithe and service. You know, looking more points. Peter said, terrific. That's certainly worth a point. A point. It says, okay, golly, how about this? I got you on this one, Pete. I started a soup kitchen in my city and worked at a shelter for homeless veterans. You know, really piling it on. And did all these things, but it says, I got some good ones. He said, fantastic, Peter said. That's good for 2 more points. He says, 2 points. At this rate, the only way I'll get into heaven is by the grace of God. And Peter says, now you got it. Only by the grace of God can we get into heaven. And so only by the grace of God. And in the meantime, what are we supposed to do? Well, we're to take our list. And what's our list really? It's called a Bible. We take our list with us. And we encounter people. We can't help but encounter people wherever we go. And whenever the opportunity is right, sometimes we do it with caution. You know, the Bible teaches not to cast your pearls before swine because they'll rend you. So sometimes you wait the opportunity, but when the opportunity is right, you say something or wear something or have something on about Jesus and start a conversation. If you can't do it that day, then go somewhere else and try to lift the Lord. Because there are, as you talk with others, somebody, there's other people who are drawing close because they're hungry for the word, because people are wondering the answer to that question. Well, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Am I good enough? And in a kind way, you can say, if they really ask you that question, you say, no, of course not. You're not good enough. But the Lord makes you good enough because of grace for all people who call and claim him. This is what Jesus gave his life for at Calvary's cross. So that we could not be wondering, you know, some random list of, you know, what must I do? But he gives us the answer of what to do with our lives in the meantime. And so this is, again, what's so wonderful to come to be with you anytime, but especially on Easter morning, on the resurrection day of our Lord, because he's come to be with us. He came to be with us. We don't have the proof. I was supposed to say, we don't have the proof. We have the proof. It's written down. If we can take the word of others before us, then we do have proof. It's all the proof we need. But he's come. He's left. He's going to return again. In the meantime, he's made us to be his body. And whenever who is it that we reach out to? Well, whenever we look in one another's faces, there's Christ. And Jesus said, whenever we do it for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, anybody, but even the least, then we've done it under Christ. Who do we, you know, on our list? Okay, who do we look for in helping? Anybody. How do we help them? We help them by meeting the human need. What is the human need? Well, if people are having trouble, any kind of need that they have shortcomings with, you know, if they, bills, clothes, what did Jesus say? Food, clothes, the basic human needs. If we can help, we help the best we can. And remembering that as what we bring forward, Jesus blesses like the loaves and the fishes. You know, we think, I don't have anything to offer but this little bit. But then we ask the Lord to bless it, and the Lord can bless it and does bless it in ways that are totally blow our minds away, that we have no concept of way, because that's the way the Lord works. We bring what we have to Him and before Him for service of others. And then in the doing of that, we're collecting. We're putting things in our bag. When Jesus has gone ahead of us to prepare a dwelling place for us, right? Okay. And it's our job to fill that place with those jewels and the crowns, as many jewels as we can, because He's gone to fill it and then to prepare that place before us. Not that we have bigger barns in this place, or not that we find Jesus in the tomb here, because He's gone on ahead. This is not our home. See, we're just traveling through on this earth. This is not our home. We get to inhabit earth for a while, but when we die, we don't stay here. Where do we go? We got to be with the Lord. And so we do as much good as we can while we're here. And when we get to heaven, then, like the man in St. Peter, we can pull out all these things that we're doing. And of course, that was just to make a point. But we will be judged according to our works. And if our works are worthy, then we will be judged with grace, and all because we have faith in Jesus. If we don't have faith in Jesus, that's why it's so important that the church, the body of Christ, does its work so that others come to know Jesus, because we're going to be held accountable whether we do that or not. You know, whether we talk it up every opportunity. God is looking at us. He loves us, and remember that He gives us the easy and yoke and the light burden. But we're to do these things. It can be hard if we let it, but if we just go and do it, our job is to do this part and not to. God gives the increase or not. If He determines that that's ready, we try to take on too much, I think, and all we got to do is be responsible for. All I need to go out and do is talk about Jesus, you know, not again His works, but because I have faith in Him, and to say, what? Simply, God is so good, and Jesus is my friend. He's the best friend any of us has ever had. And say, Jesus has done so much for me in my life. He was with me. I heard Him tell me these things, and whether you've heard Him in your ear or your heart or your soul, Jesus is talking with us all the time. He's our shepherd. And as our shepherd, you know, we feel that burden of conviction sometime when we're doing wrong things, but sometimes when we visit the shepherd's staff, you know, sometimes we feel them pulling us back when the hook around our neck, or sometimes the other end of the stick, He's tapping us along our rear end to get us moving. Yeah, that's love. You know, I mean, that's the kind of godly love that we need. He's steering us in the right direction. He wants the best for us, always. He's not going to, and sometimes we don't do the best, but He wants us to do the best. And when we do the best, then we're fulfilling the Great Commission, which is going out in the whole world and telling Jesus and baptizing people in His name, and doing these things that He wants us to do. It's not a lot, is it? He didn't say, build 7 cathedrals or, you know, do all these hard labor things. We just need to talk about Him. We need to talk Him up and share it. And in the meantime, as we're talking it up, we encounter people with needs. We help to the best of our ability to meet those needs. And that is what we're to do in the meantime. That's the hunt that we're on. Because we do live in a reward system. Those who... And some people I know are shocked by hearing that, but the reward of living a faithful life is that we get to heaven. There are perks of being a believer, of having faith. You know, we get to go to heaven if we have faith in Jesus, and we get all those blessings that are promised to us. I mean, that's a nice reward. And for what? For sticking up for Jesus in this world, then Jesus will stick up for us. This is what Jesus gave His life for. Do we do it perfectly all the time? No, of course not. Do we fall short? Do we keep quiet sometimes? Of course we do. Do we fail? Yes, miserably. You know, wherever I fall short, wherever you fall short, you know, if I come up to here, but the standard is, God's standard is here, always aim for here, but I came to here, we stand before Him. We're not judged in judgment, but we're judged in grace. God fills up the rest. And that way God helps us earn getting into heaven. We don't get there by ourselves, by our merits. But if he judges by judgment, then God says, you only came halfway up. You don't get it. But because of faith and grace, we do make it. And because we have this assurance of knowing of our destination, that frees us up to live this life. And we need to practice on this one, breathing and having more joy and assurance in this life. So if we know where we're going, then we can be looser and more at ease about knowing that we don't serve a severe taskmaster, but someone who loves us and looks down on us and gives us grace. So we do our best, and God looks upon us and blesses us. Well, the work of God is this. The work of God is to believe in the one that he has sent. And we believe in Jesus once again. The empty tomb is there before us, and we look in, and we see no evidence except folded up linen cloths and no evidence. And we are left in wonder and awe because of our humanity. But we also ask God to bless us with his presence, the Holy Spirit, to rest upon us and help us to have faith that leaps across, that covers over our attempt to figure it out mentally, because we can't do it. Our minds are just not capable. But our hearts are capable of receiving that gift of faith and grace. And to where we say, I can't figure it out, but that's okay. I don't have to figure it out. It's not up to me to figure it out. God took out that department. We come today again seeking his face. And you know what? He delivers. And he gives to us once again his blessing. We have honored him. You all have honored him by coming out on this dark, damp morning to look in that tomb. As if we were there. And God is blessing you for that. Because we came also seeking, and you know what? We found. And we've been knocking, and the door was open to us. That's the way God works. He doesn't hold anybody back, and he doesn't keep us dangling. He gives us a list, but he tells us exactly what the list is all about. And so, on our hunt for our faithful living, God has given us the directions, because everything that's necessary for our salvation is here in this Bible, your Bible. Whatever Holy Bible, whatever version, it doesn't matter. As long as it has Jesus crucified, dead, and risen, and that Jesus is the Son of God, then you got a Bible, and that's the one. Now, go in peace today. We wonder like Thomas. And we wonder like the women, like Mary Magdalene. We're tearful and crying. And Jesus every time comes to us, as in those examples, and comforts us and assures us. So wherever you are on that spectrum of thinking, I'm a good person, you're not a good person. Jesus is good. And if we confess our sinfulness and we say, I want to be good, so Jesus, if I want to be good, then Jesus has to be good in me. And Jesus says, okay, I can work that. That's a good deal for him. And that's the way God planned it. So we've been blessed. Go now on this resurrection day, filled with the joy and the awe and the wonder of what God is doing and the miracles that he continues to work in your lives and in the world. God is not dead. And he is here, and he cares, and he loves you. The whole message of the Bible is that God loves you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for our time together. We thank you that you love us, that you give to us so many mysterious things, mysterious, wonderful things that cause us to stop and to think and to pray and to be thankful. Bless us now today, Lord. Continue to have these words from the Scriptures dwell within our hearts today. Especially today, that your the power and the presence of your risen Son would make an impact on our lives, so that we can make an impact on other lives. That is the gospel. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, we applaud for singing. We ought to applaud for preaching. Amen. Amen. Now, don't go to booing. He was talking about the shepherd's staff, you know, the Lord pulling you by the neck or prodding you in the rear. He's had to hit me over the head a few times with it to get my attention. But, you know, and 3 points, three points for staying married 50 years to the same woman and not even being unfaithful in heart. Was that Jimmy Carter? Vance Havner said, salvation is not by works, but this salvation works. It works. And so we're to go forth and work for him, not to get into heaven as Brian's preached, but because we love him. Wouldn't you be embarrassed not to have a crown to lay at his feet when you see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? We're going to have the blessing, and then we're going to dismiss. Thank you, Brian, again for a great message. And Fairview people will go first. I don't see no Victory people leaving until they're gone. They get first choice. You know. I mean, we save the best to last, so we go last. Let's stand together and have a blessing. Father, indeed, it has been wonderful to be here today, to rise early and to come to worship at an empty tomb. We thank you for your servant and for his heart for the gospel and for the message he shared with us. Help us, Lord, to labor for you. You said in your word that the fields were white unto harvest, but the laborers were few. Help us to be one of those laborers, because the time is indeed short, and there is much work to be done. There are many souls that have not trusted Christ. So help us to be a very vocal witness for the one who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank you for the men that have prepared our meal and for the meal itself. We ask your blessing upon it and upon our fellowship together in Christ, for it is in his name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.